If you are able, please remain standing as we read God's Word. And this morning we'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Now hear God's Word. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributions to the all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Thus ends the reading. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you that it teaches us, and we pray that you would give us teachable hearts that are ready to absorb the truths that are proclaimed this morning from your word. We thank you for the many examples that we have in the scriptures of how we're supposed to live, and we acknowledge that we fall short of that often. We pray that you would give us the grace to see those truths this morning and not only see them, but to apply them to our lives, put them into action. We pray that you would bless Kevin and sustain him and encourage him, his heart as he preaches this morning. Equip him as only you can in a powerful way. And we pray that the word will go forth this morning with a power and with a joy, and that the preaching will be faithful. And we pray that you would use your word and use his words as your servant to convict our hearts of our sin. We thank you that we do have a Redeemer, and that although we sin, that we have the promise that if we are repentant before you, that you will forgive us. And we thank you for that blessing of forgiveness of sins. We pray that you keep us free from distractions this morning and focused on your word. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, this morning we conclude another section of Mark's Gospel, and this section actually begins with Jesus' entrance into the temple, and that's found in chapter 11 at verse 15, and the section ends in verse 44, where we find Jesus in the temple, and then at chapter 13 and verse 1, he leaves the temple. And as he began his ministry in this section, we find him condemning the greedy money changers. And we find him in our passage this morning ending this section by commending a giving widow. And she was one who gave sacrificially. And so as we look at these few verses this morning, let us consider as to whether or not we are a giving people. And if we are, if we are those who give sacrificially, and if we do give sacrificially, as to whether or not we give for the right reasons. Proverbs 21 and verse 26 says of the lazy man, "He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare." And so one of the differences between the lazy and the ungodly and the righteous is that the righteous are a giving people. There are several things I think we ought to see here in our passage for this morning, several things worthy of our consideration. And the first one is found in verses 41 and 42, and it is that God takes notice of our giving or our withholding. But God sees our giving. In verse 41, it says that Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. And so here's the second person of the Godhead, the God-man, Jesus, and he's watching. He's watching those who put their offering in the money box. Now, some translations mention a treasury, and that's a place in the temple. It was a place in the temple consisting of about 13 trumpet-shaped chests around the walls of the court of women in the temple. And that's where the people would come and throw their coins, their offering, into that place within God's temple. And as Jesus pointed out earlier in his ministry, those who were wealthy loved to make a spectacle of themselves during their giving. I'll read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. He tells his disciples to beware of practicing your righteousness before men in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, no doubt this was a public place, but the principle remains the same, and that is that in the public place, one is not to make a spectacle of his or her giving. And so God who sees that giving and the hearts of the givers will reward the giver accordingly. And so God does take notice of our giving. We can fool men. We can make it appear as though we give and give a lot. Or maybe we do. But God knows the amount, and God knows why. The second thing here is that God graciously accepts our faithful giving. And we see this with this widow. God and Christ here could have pointed to some very wealthy person. But he highlights this widow who, as the old translation puts it, only had two mites, two coins. And our English translation says, which makes a penny. God graciously accepts our faithful giving, no matter the amount. And when I say graciously and faithful, consider that in Scripture we do have these principles for giving. We do have the tithes and offerings of the Old Testament. And you know, I can remember struggling with that question, am I supposed to give 10% and all of this? Well, there were different tithes in the Old Testament. If you went and added them together, it would actually be more than 10% that God's people were to give in the Old Testament. And so we often refer to tithes and offerings, our tenth, that which God requires, and then whatever is above and beyond that, that's our offering. And so when we give, and we give for the right motives, God graciously accepts that, no matter the amount. When you consider that anything we do to the Lord is still flawed because we're sinners. We're Christians who believe in Christ, and we've been justified, we've been declared not guilty, we have the full forgiveness of sins, but there is remaining sin, and so we're still in that process of sanctification. So in other words, when it comes to our good works, at the last day, our good works will be rewarded. I think Scripture teaches that, but they will only be rewarded because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Just consider a couple of verses. Hebrews 11, Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. You remember Cain and Abel. And we talk about raising Cain sometimes, and Cain killed his brother Abel because God showed favor toward Abel. Well, it wasn't because Abel was so much better than Cain. They were both sons of their parents, Adam and Eve, sinners, which made them sinners. But Hebrews makes it clear that Abel's offering was in faith or by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice to God. Elsewhere, the Bible says, without faith, in that same chapter, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And 1 Peter 2:5 talks about, as Christians, our spiritual sacrifices of praise, our worship that we give to God. And it says there, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so, our worship is acceptable to God if it is in faith and offered through the mediation, through the person of Jesus Christ. If we come to God in the name of Jesus, our worship will then be accepted by God, and only then. Now, that being said, Jesus commends this widow who gave very little. I can recall the first time, I think it was the first time I gave a heartfelt offering as a Christian. I was a senior in high school, and it was a public school where I went. We had some social event, and I had about $80 left over from that social event. I had worked, and I think my parents gave me some money, and I could have kept that money, but I put it in the offering plate. And in 1990 or so, for a teenager, that was a lot of money. And I'm not standing here boasting about it. The point was that I had joy because I was giving that to God. And God accepted that, I believe. And notice what Jesus says about her gift. In verse 43, and he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Well, verse 41 says, there were many rich people who put in large sums of money. And she gave in, or put into the treasury, these two coins. And Jesus said, she put in more. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the point is that God graciously received her offering. And that is to say that even today, that a little old lady who might only be on Social Security, who can put in the offering $5, in God's eyes puts in more than the CEO of a Fortune 500 company who puts in $5,000, if not done for the right reason and done in faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God graciously accepts even the smallest offering. The third thing we see here is that those who have little are expected to give, even if it's a little. Jesus commends this woman, and he does say that she gave two mites, or two copper coins, two small ones, which Mark tells us makes a penny or a lepta in the Greek, which was a quadrin in Roman currency. In other words, she gave two coins. One of those coins was a fraction. It was 1/64th of a denarius. A denarius in that day was a day's wage. So she gave 1/64th times two of a day's wage. And I think I got it right when I did the math. If you made $20 an hour and worked 8 hours, that would be equivalent to, I think, $2 or $4. And it wasn't very much. Notice what Jesus says in verse 44. For they all contributed out of their abundance. You see, they had no problem giving because they gave out of their abundance. It really didn't cost them anything. They really wouldn't notice a dent in their wallet or their bank account. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. There are those, even Matthew Henry, who say that she probably gave what she had for that day. And yet, I'm not convinced of that. In other words, Jesus says, Mark tells us that he said, that she put in everything that she had, all she had to live on. That is sacrificial giving. Imagine if you had $1,000 left in the account and you put that money into the offering plate or box or the treasury. Where would your next meal come from? Where would your provisions come from? How would you pay any bills? Now, yes, we could talk about budgeting, but Jesus doesn't mention that here, does he? He commends her giving. In fact, as one says, there is a certain recklessness with her giving. It's good to have a budget. It's good to know what comes in and what you're going to have to pay out every month. We're to be good stewards of our money. And I say our money. But this woman, she puts us to shame, doesn't she? Many of us. Now I'll stop and say that as it has been noted, last year we had a good year at this church financially with the giving, and we ought to praise God for that and be thankful for that giving. But I'm speaking in general, and I'll put myself out there. She puts us to shame, doesn't she? Many of us. I think of her as being in a similar category of those older ladies who see a televangelist on TV begging for money, and her clothes are tattered and she needs repairs around the house, but she writes them a check. Those men just want money, but she's doing it for the right reason. And here we see this lady giving money to the treasury, and that money, much of it would have gone to the scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus has already given his judgment about them. Why do we struggle with our giving? Why does this widow who gave two copper coins, put so many of us to shame? There's an old adage, and it says, the more you make, the more you spend. There's a lot of truth in that. You get a raise, and if you get a nice raise, generally, what might come to mind? What can I do with that money? If I remember thinking, okay, I got a $2 raise, that's a car payment. You do the math. Instead of saving it, How many of us think, okay, that's more money I can give to the Lord? That's more money I can give away. Well, turn with me to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19, Jesus addresses this whole issue of why we struggle with giving and our finances, at least in part here. Matthew 6, verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus points out that it's a heart issue. It's an issue of our affections, our desires, our lust for things, and storage facilities to store those things. And he'll say you can't serve both God and mammon, that is money. You know, Colossians 3:5 talks about covetousness, desiring that which belongs to our neighbors, desiring something that we do not have, greatly desiring it. And Colossians 3:5 calls covetousness idolatry. And so to covet is to commit idolatry, and that is because we're putting something above God on the affection list. We are desiring something above God when we truly covet. And so Jesus corrects us. He reproves us in that. He gives us a check for our desires. And yes, Proverbs 13:21 is true, but Proverbs 13:22 is a proverb. I'll tell you what it says. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." And so it is true, the good man, the righteous man, generally speaking, leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. So if that tells me one thing. It tells me that a righteous man who is able saves money, he spends his money wisely, he maybe invests his money, he's able to give an inheritance to his children. But it also tells me that if we were to receive an inheritance, that we should be good stewards of it and be able to pass some of that on to our children. And this widow here, and Jesus commends her. And that tells us, I think, that God expects even those who have little to give, even if it is only a little. Well, the last thing we see here, and I hope you've seen this at least as I've been talking about these things, the last thing we ought to see is that giving is an act of faith. That is, faithful giving is an act of faith. There are different motives for giving. Jesus, we've just seen, tells of some other motives: to be seen by men, to receive their reward, their praise of men. But when we don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing, and we give in secret, God, who sees us in secret, and He sees our hearts, He will reward us openly. And I'll say this, just as it is with our time, so it is with our money. You see, God only requires one day in seven, the Lord's Day. And as Robert Shaw, an old Scottish Presbyterian, pointed out, it's the Lord's Day, not the Lord's morning. He only requires one day in seven to be set aside for rest, for our sakes, yes, but for worship. And we're to be good stewards of that time. But when you think about it, in order for us to do that and to do it right, we have to trust God. Yes, there are works of necessity we do on the Lord's Day. There are works of mercy, things that we have to do. Sometimes they have to be done. Or in order to preserve life or to serve someone else, we have to work on the Lord's Day. But generally speaking, we are to set aside, well, the principle is, we are to set aside one day in seven. In order to do that, it really takes faith. It's an act of obedience, but it's also an act of trust to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to work on this day. I could be getting ahead in business. I could take care of so many things, but I'm going to trust you that if I don't take care of it on this day, you will bless my work and my labors. And so it is with our money. If we give sacrificially to the Lord, it is an act of faith if we are doing it for the right reasons. We are trusting God. I mean, that's really at the heart of this woman and what she's doing. She put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. Whether it's our time, our money, or even our breath, as we just sang, it talked in that hymn about God lending to us breath to breathe. Acts 17 again. In Him we live and move and have our being. He gives breath and life to all. So whether it's our breath, whether it's our time, or our money, it all belongs to God. Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." And so the issue is stewardship. We talk about financial stewardship sometimes. It's all God's money. Yes, He allows us to enjoy the fruit of our labors. Yes, He wants us to take care of our families, even ourselves. And it's okay if we can afford it and we're giving sacrificially to the Lord. If we drive a pretty nice car. We live in nice homes. But it's all His. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this." And so there God says, "Put me to the test," says the Lord. "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now, there is a false gospel that's been out there for years now. You may have heard of it in this way. It's sometimes called the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. And those so-called preachers, those hucksters, those pitchmen, they preach and they say, well, if you give this amount to my ministry, God will bless you tenfold, a thousandfold, and all of that. And then one day you'll be able to drive a Bentley like me. Well, that's heresy. That's false. And that's misleading. But I think there we've seen that verses like Malachi 3 have been taken. They've been hijacked by these men. God in Malachi 3 doesn't say if you give to Him that you will become a millionaire. But He does say that if you put Him to the test, He will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out upon you blessing. And I've heard some of you say that when you started to tithe, not only did it bring joy, but you saw that God always provided. I've seen that in my own life. When I was in seminary for 4 years, family of four, young family, I was able to live on $400 a week, rented a house, paid for groceries, paid for a car. There was a time or two where I got a lump sum in the mail of money, and I learned to say, okay, Lord, what is this for? What is coming? And God took care of me and my family. And this woman, she was no hoarder. You know, you've seen The Hoarders, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you have an issue with that. But I don't think so, not like the hoarders that I'm talking about. I think we need to distinguish between being a hoarder and being frugal. Because we are to be frugal. Again, we're stewards of God's money. We are to save, we are to spend, and we are to give. But I think one of the main problems with those who hoard and save and save and save, they may do it for different reasons. One is, I believe, they don't trust God. You know, some are prepping today for World War III, the apocalypse. And I'm not saying we shouldn't make provision for the future. I'm not saying if you're doing that, you're in sin. But what I am saying, if you're not trusting in God, you are in sin. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whatever is not of faith is sin. Again, I'm not saying that prepping is wrong. There was a lot of talk about Y2K years ago. I had MREs, I had 55-gallon drums full of water and food-grade drums. I even had extra for others in case they needed it. And so this woman's gift was sacrificial. And when we say sacrificial, what do we mean? What does it mean? Remember in the Old Testament, God's people offered sacrifices, whether it was a turtle dove or lamb. If it was a lamb, God would say it needed to be a lamb without what? Spot or blemish. If you offered to God a lamb that had cancer, if you offered to God a three-legged lamb, that's really no sacrifice. It's more like leftovers. And so for a gift to be sacrificial, in the words of Webster, it means to be devoted even with loss. To give sacrificially might just hurt a little. But is that not what God has done for us? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in order to encourage them to give sacrificially to other churches in need. And what does he put on the table for them? What does he lay out for them? In 2 Corinthians 8, he says there in verse 9 that God the Father gave us a gift. And he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, so that we might become rich in him. Christ, the second person of the Godhead, who created this world, took upon human flesh and learned what it meant to live in poverty. And that was his offering, part of his offering, yes, to the Father, but it was made on behalf of us, his people. And so then, for us to give sacrificially, it must be motivated by love for God, yes, love for our neighbors. But ultimately, I think when we look at 2 Corinthians 8 there, Whether we're giving to the church, which is really to God, if we're giving to a friend or a stranger, we're not giving primarily to them, we're giving to God Himself. And what we're doing when we give is we're saying, "Thank you, Lord. Let me demonstrate my thanksgiving to you." We aren't giving to obtain the applause of men. We don't give to gain a friend, but we should give, shouldn't we, in order to give glory and thanksgiving to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for